Good evening. I'd like to welcome everyone this evening to the Mesa City Council regular meeting for Monday, May 6, 2013. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and it's always an honor and privilege for me to conduct this meeting. Would like to excuse Councilmember Chris Glover, who's feeling a little under the weather. I'm sure he's watching at home. And I don't know if that's going to make him feel any better or not, but he is watching at home. We'll begin this evening's meeting with an invocation from Pastor David Land of the New Life Assembly of God, and then I will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise for the invocation and the pledge.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again as we reflect back on our day today, and no matter how hectic it's been or how peaceful it's been, we still realize that it's the day that you have made, and your word declares to us that we can rejoice and be glad in it. And as we gather together this evening, as our mayor, our council members, city leaders have gathered to do business, as the citizens of this city have come to participate in it, we pray that, number one, you will be the honored guest today, that every decision made will be according to your will. Lord, that our city would be a reflection of the love of Christ, the work of God. Lord, we would see people's lives changed and hearts touched in this city. Bless our mayor, bless every council member that sits on this bench, and we give you thanks for their leadership. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated. Great. We have a couple of recognitions this evening, and we'd like to invite Planning Director John Wesley to introduce the first one.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. One of my duties, in addition to being Planning Director, is that as Historic Preservation Officer. And the city has an appointed Historic Preservation Board. Donna Benz, the chair of that board, is here this evening. The board recently sponsored a historic writing contest, and Donna's going to tell you about that and present the awards.
Mayor and Council members, we had a writing contest for students in Mesa, and they had to select a topic from at least 10 years ago, because that's quite a while ago for kids. And so we have some winners tonight, five winners in various categories. And as I introduce the winners, I'll tell a little bit about what they wrote about. Are you going to come up here?
Go ahead.
All right.
And as the winners come down, if we want, we would like to have a group photo of them.
I'll call
and
them each here.
Probably we'll get down
give them
here.
A certificate.
Yeah, right down here in front, and then they can have a picture taken with the council members and the mayor and you and John and whoever else. Anyone in the audience want to come down and take a picture with you?
Anna Hogel is a fourth grader from Johnson Elementary.
Come on up, Anna.
She wrote a story called Susan's Diary, and she detailed a pioneer girl's travel from Salt Lake City to Mesa a long time ago. So, Anna, congratulations. We have a fourth place award. Paige Savory is a sixth grader from O'Connor Elementary. She wrote about her daddy, who was doing special training at Falcon Field during World War II, and a British aviator was staying at their home at the time. Congratulations, Paige.
Thank you.
Our third place winner is Caitlin Ashcroft, a sixth grader from O'Connor Elementary School. Paige wrote about how she and her dad helped with the building of the Mesa Temple. Ashley. Our second place winner is Isabel Hanning. Isabel is a homeschooled fourth grader, and she wrote about how she and her brother, or Anna and a brother, were planning to show their animals at the Maricopa County Fair, which was on the same block as 55 North Center. At that time, a civic center was there. This was a hangar from Marana, and it was a World War II hangar there, but it burned down in 1959, the night before the fair. Our first place winner is her sister, Annie Hanning, and she's a homeschooled sixth grader. Annie wrote about a girl named Carolyn Button, who formed a club during World War II, and among other things, they sold scrap metal to raise money to buy war bonds. But in the meantime, her brother joined the armed services, and he was off to training and then off to battle, and she hadn't heard from him for a long time. The day she finally got a letter from him was the end of the war, but he was in the hospital and had lost his right arm, but he would be returning home soon.
Now, you didn't tell me this was a girls-only competition.
It wasn't. Ooh. The boys didn't join.
Way to go, girls power, right? Way to go, girls. The next item is the presentation related to our Fire Station 219 and Laura Heineman, here around here. And afterwards, Councilmember Summers and Councilmember Kavanaugh, if you want to accompany me down for a photo op.
Good evening. Fire Station 219, located near Signal Butte and Elliott Roads, is the first City of Mesa building to earn the USGBC, U.S. Green Building Council, Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design Certification. In fact, it's the first City of Mesa building to earn LEED Gold certification. LEED is a voluntary program that provides third-party verification of design and construction techniques used in green buildings. LEED buildings are designed to have lower operating costs, to conserve water and energy, to be healthy and safe for their occupants, to reduce waste sent to landfills, and then also reduce harmful greenhouse gas emissions. The City of Mesa Fire and Medical Department received a $2 million FEMA grant that was used to pay for many of the energy efficiency items that helped achieve LEED Gold with this fire station. I'd like to...
Here I am, over here.
Let Dan say a few words.
As I got a chance in our CIP presentation we did last Thursday to talk a little bit about the engineering division we have here in the city, we kind of stumbled across this during our grant process with our team that was working on this, but that's about as far as the fire department went. If it wasn't for our engineering division, and we could probably spend 2 hours up here and not even cover a fraction of what they went through about all the things they had to look for, underturn, and the deadlines they had to make. They're the ones that pulled this off. We're the recipients of it, as Laura said. Whoever thought firefighters could leave a small footprint on a space down here, because we don't leave a small footprint anywhere. But with their help, we're able to leave at least a smaller footprint with our building now.
Thank you. As Dan mentioned, the design and construction of the fire station was really a collaborative effort between city staff, the design professionals, and the building contractors. Innovative ideas and sustainable design were brought forward, discussed, priced, and then, if appropriate, implemented in the construction of the fire station. Some of the And the architect wanted me to remind you that when we originally wrote the contract with them, we asked that they bring this in at a LEED Silver. But they were so conscientious, and the engineering department was so good at incorporating these ideas into the design, and the fire department accepting them, we actually earned LEED Gold, which is something to be very proud of. It's a very high tier of the LEED program. Some smart strategies that were incorporated into the fire station that were related to energy efficiency was the use of a cool foam roof that not only insulates the building, but it also reflects heat. The windows are low solar heat gain coefficient so that they insulate from heat and cold. The building itself is constructed of, go to the next slide, please. It's actually constructed of insulated concrete forms that have an R value of 48. The building has, I tell you what, I'm going to slide this up. Here's a picture of the building under construction. Renewable energy is generated on-site with a 5.3 kilowatt photovoltaic system, and a solar hot water heater system provides all the water, hot water that the firefighters use in the station. And the payback on the solar thermal water heater is only 2 years, so that's really something that makes a lot of sense. As Shahir said a little earlier, it's like 48 years for free. There are also a number of strategies in place to conserve water, dual flush toilets, pint flush urinals, and also low flow showers that still are very effective showers for the firefighters. They were very conscious about that. There's abundance of natural landscaping that not only provides habitat, but also reduces the need for irrigation water. Fire Station 219 has achieved some impressive outcomes. 40% of the construction material used for the station was actually obtained within 500 miles of the site. That means that the price of that material was less. Transportation costs were less, and the use of natural materials was less. So it was a savings for the city. 75% of the construction waste was diverted from the landfill, so disposal costs were significantly less. Those products that were diverted from the landfill actually went to companies that use that for recycled material, and it also extended the life of the landfill. So finally, and as we move forward, the city will continue measuring the performance of this building to ensure that it meets its goal of a 35% energy savings and nearly 70% savings of the use of potable water for irrigation. Now, Shahir's going to step forward and talk about the design and construction team.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I've been with a project manager with the city for about 6 years, and I'd have to say that this is probably one of the best projects that I worked on. We were able to, with the delivery team, design and construction team, both the consultants and the city department personnel, able to deliver a project where we met the federal grant requirements with regards to the milestones that they had set on their schedule, and also the compliance requirements. We were able to come within the city's budget and give the fire department an excellent station that will hopefully serve the citizens of Mesa for the next 50 years plus. As we have up there on the slides, I'd like to just acknowledge that we had Perlman Architects of Arizona as the main architect for the project. Green Ideas came in after we started the design when the fire department decided to go forward with the grant. And they came up with the ideas with regards to utilizing the sustainability elements and still getting value for our investment, so to speak. D.L. Weathers did an excellent job in construction. I recall a conversation with the architect when he called me when we were in construction and said, "Shahir, I really don't have much to do." I'm like, "Well, that's great." He's like, "Everything's going really smoothly with this project." So again, we have some of the other firms up there with regards to the subconsultants. It was just a great experience, a collaborative effort with regards to the consultants and the city staff to deliver a project for the citizens of Mesa. Thank you.
Sure.
So the plaque, this is the plaque, the Leeds plaque that will be displayed outside the building. It'll be placed next to the building plaque. And I think we're going to do a photo op with the team up here. So Gerald and the rest of the architects, if you could come up here.
Okay, the next item on the agenda, and thanks to all who were involved with that. That's a great accomplishment. The next item on the agenda is the reading of the consent agenda, and if you want to take a break right now while this thing goes through, this is a long one. Kevin, you ready for it?
We are ready.
Kevin Christopher will read the consent agenda into the record.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for Dollar General Store, 7350 East Main Street. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for Dollar General Store, 10645 East Main Street. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for Dollar General Store, 415 South Higley Road. Item 3D, act on liquor license application for Quick and Easy Food Mart, 1650 East Broadway Road. Item 4A, act on bingo application for Mesa Tri-City, Area 3468 of the Fraternal Order of Eagles, 1712 West Broadway Road. Item 5A, act on contract to purchase furniture for the Red Mountain Library. Item 5B, act on 3-year term contract for AC Delco and Mike Motorcraft vehicle parts for the Fleet Services Department. Item 5C, act on contract to purchase furniture for the new Fiesta District Police Station. This purchase is funded by the 2008 Public Safety Bonds and the General Fund Capital Fund. Item 5D, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for fire protective clothing for the Fire and Medical Services Department. Item 5E, act on contract to purchase 8 replacement vehicles for the Fire and Medical Services Department. Item 5F, act on 3-year term contract for firefighting foam for the Fire and Medical Services Department. Item 5G, act on 1-year renewal of term contract for landscape maintenance for Parks and Recreation Basins, Zone 1 for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. Item 5H, act on 1-year renewal of term contract for landscape maintenance for Parks and Recreation Basins, Zone 2 for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. Item 5I, act on 1-year renewal of term contract for swimming pool chemicals for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. Item 5J, act on 5-year term contract for central control irrigation systems and replacement parts for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. Item 5K, act on contract to purchase a new cargo van for the Parks, Recreation, and Commercial Facilities Department. This purchase is mostly funded by a grant from the Gila River Indian Community. Item 5L, act on dollar limit increase and 1-year renewal of the term contract for graffiti abatement services for the Transportation Department. Item 5M, act on 3-year term contract for landscape maintenance services for Parkway Medians and right-of-way for Section 6 of the Transportation Department. Item 5N, act on dollar limit increase to the term contract for storm drain gates and manhole covers for the Transportation Department. Item 5O, act on contract to purchase 2 replacement light-duty pickup trucks for Energy Resources Gas Utility. This purchase is funded by the Replacement Extension Reserve Fund. Item 5P, act on 2-year renewal of the term contract for fence and gate repair installation for the Transportation Department. Item 5Q, act on 1-year renewal of the term contract for reflectorized sign sheeting for the Transportation Department. Item 5R, act on contract for carbon replacement at the Northwest Water Reclamation Plant for the Water Resources Department. Item 5S, act on 2-year renewal of the term contract for cationic emulsion polymer for the Water Resources Department. Item 5T, act on contract to purchase a hosted capital improvement program management solution for the Engineering Department. This purchase is funded by the Capital Improvement Program. Item 5U, act on 1-year renewal of the term contract for digital bond printing services for the Engineering Department. Item 5V, act on contract for Broadway Road improvements from Sossaman Road to Haas Road. Funding is available in the 2008 Streets Bond Authorization, 2010 Water Bond Authorization, and the 2010 Wastewater Bond Authorization. Item 6A, act on resolution approving the fiscal year 2013-2014 annual action plan for submittal to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development and authorizing the city manager to amend, sign, and submit the plan. Item 6B, act on resolution authorizing the city manager to prepare, sign, and submit applications to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to receive entitlement funds under the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974 as amended and approve all activities and funding allocations undertaken by nonprofit organizations that meet the objectives and priorities as identified in the consolidated plan. Item 6C, Act and Resolution authorizing the City Manager to prepare, sign, and submit applications to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to receive entitlement funds under the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974 as amended and approve all activities and funding allocations undertaken by city departments that meet the objectives and priorities as identified in the consolidated plan. Item 6D, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to prepare, sign, and submit an application to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to receive entitlement funds under the National Affordable Housing Act of 1990 as amended and delegating authority to the Housing and Community Development Advisory Board to approve all activities and funding allocations undertaken by nonprofit organizations that meet the objectives and priorities as identified in the consolidated plan. Item 6E, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to prepare, sign, and submit an application to the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to receive entitlement funds under the National Affordable Housing Act of 1990 as amended and delegating authority to the Housing and Community Development Advisory Board to approve all activities and funding allocations undertaken by city departments that meet the objectives and priorities as identified in the consolidated plan. Item 6F, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to prepare, sign, and submit an application for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to receive entitlement funds under the Stuart B. McKinney Homeless Assistance Grant of 1987, as amended for the Emergency Solutions Grant. Item 6G, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to execute a second amendment to the Regional Emergency Medical Transportation Service Agreement with Southwest Ambulance to modify response time evaluations and liquidated damages for certain response types and response zones that have low monthly call volumes. Item 7A, Introduction of Ordinance regarding Z13-15, 7255 East Broadway Road, located on the south side of Broadway, east of Power Road, modification of ordinance to allow nursing facility to offer outpatient rehabilitation services to all residents and the general public. Item 7B, Introduction of Ordinance regarding A13-02, annexing land located at the 8800 to 8900 blocks of East Range Rider Trail, north of McDowell Road and east of Hawes Road. This was initiated by the property owner. Item 7C, Introduction of Ordinance regarding Z13-12, the 8800 to 8900 blocks of East Range Rider Trail, located north of McDowell and east of Hawes Road, rezoned to establish City of Mesa zoning on recently annexed property. Item 7D, Introduction of Ordinance regarding Z13-13, the 8800 to 8900 blocks of East Range Rider Trail, located north of McDowell Road and east of Hawes Road, a rezone to allow development of single residence lots. Item 8A, Act on Ordinance regarding Z13-07, the 7800 to 7900 blocks of East University Drive on the south side and the 200 to 300 blocks of South 80th Street on the west side, modification of the villas at Montana Vista Plan Area Development to allow modification to the development standards of single residence lots. And Item 9A, Act to Adopt Notice of Intention to Adjust Utility Rates and setting June 17, 2013, as the date of the public hearing. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there any item that a council member would like to remove from the consent agenda? Ms. Mickelson, is there any request from the public to remove an item from the consent agenda?
No request, Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Councilmember Kavanaugh, a second from Councilmember Richens. Is there any discussion? Please vote. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries 6-0 with Councilmember Glover absent. The next item is item 10A, approving and authorizing the City Manager to execute a memorandum of understanding with Sunridge Properties, Inc. for the development of a hotel at Riverview. Mr. Brady.
Yes, Mayor.
Are we getting some crossover, or is that... go ahead. No, go ahead.
So the item before you tonight would enter into a non-binding memorandum of understanding with Sunridge Properties for the development of a Spring Hill Suites Hotel, which would be located along the what's referred to as the Paseo, the north Paseo, north side of the Paseo on the Riverview site. The proposal would require the, it will enter into, while this is a non-binding agreement, it lays out the terms that then allows the for the staff to continue negotiations for the final agreement, which would be brought back to the city for your final approval.
Mr. Brady, there's been a lot of discussion of a second offer that, or a second proposal, or however you want to, however you want to define it, from another developer for another potential hotel. Could you just cover that real quickly as to how that might move forward or how this might affect that?
Yes, Mayor. Mayor and Council, under the current proposal that is before the Council, there are two items that would be provided to the current developer. One, that at the opening of the proposed hotel, there would be a six-month period before a second hotel would be able to open. And then the second portion of that is the right of first refusal for a second hotel that would come in. And the terms of that would require that if the city were to receive a proposal for a second hotel, that we would then bring that back to the Sunridge Properties, and they would have a 30-day period to respond with a like or better hotel development proposal.
Okay, and I guess the question is if we approve this MOU tonight, which starts these talks on a formal agreement, does that preclude the city or the council from discussing any other hotels with other parties?
No, it does not. It allows us to. No, it does not.
Okay. All right. Debbie?
I agree. It does not preclude the discussions with a second potential developer.
It's just that if we come up with a deal, then Sunridge has the right
has
to.
Right first refusal on that. Okay. Correct.
Okay. Councilmember Kavanaugh. Councilmember Higgins.
My question is on the comment. This is to Debbie. About negotiating in good faith. How far does that those words go, negotiating in good faith? How could we not be negotiating in good faith moving down knowing we want to do two different projects?
Well, I think it has been discussed as it's been discussed here. So both parties, including Sunridge, understand and have been informed that there is a second developer interested in potentially bringing a second hotel to this area. But what this MOU does is it sets out the material terms, and the parties have agreed to these material terms. But the MOU does say that it's non-binding and contemplates and expressly states that there are other terms that need to be included and that this agreement is not complete as is. So the parties will, if adopted tonight, they will take these terms and then attempt to negotiate a full agreement with Sunridge. And if we are successful, obviously we'll bring that to the council for consideration.
And what would be the detriment if we were to continue this decision for a couple weeks?
Legally, there is no detriment. I don't know if otherwise there is, or non-legal considerations that you need to take into consideration on that, but legally it would not matter.
Okay. Nice to see you have the motion.
And we have a motion registered on this issue. We have a motion from Councilman Richens and a second from Councilmember Summers, I believe.
Nope. I would tell you what my motion is too, since it's on there. But
yeah, we did. We had moved. Both
I think there
already,
was one.
But
yeah, we had moved to. If you would like to amend the motion, that's one thing we could vote on the amendment. But there's already a motion on the floor to on item 10A to approve item 10A.
Just out of curiosity, Mayor, yeah. If I may, if this fails on a 3-3 vote, can we bring it back in 2 weeks anyway? I mean, what happens if this fails on
a
3-3
vote? Well, it doesn't fail, it just doesn't pass.
So it can come back in 2 weeks? I'm just curious.
Legally, it can come back in 2 weeks, yeah.
Councilman Kavanaugh.
Just a question for the city attorney. I know there's a motion on the table. If another council member makes a motion to table this discussion, doesn't that take priority? We would first vote on a motion to table, and then the underlying motion.
I believe under Robert's rules it may. However, Mesa has not adopted Robert's rules, so the mayor is the final parliamentarian for these proceedings. So it would really be up to the mayor to determine how he is going to proceed with the multiple motions.
Well, first of all, what is because you know now we're getting into areas. If this is 3-3, if this is whatever, I think it's been laid out. We've discussed a lot as to what we want to do. I'm trying to figure out what would be the purpose of not moving forward, knowing we can continue on negotiations with the second party. Then preclude us from continuing to talk with a second party in full faith. It doesn't preclude us from doing anything. So I'm trying to understand why we would need that to table.
Would you like me to answer that? Okay. I think recently some things were not just made clearer in the MOU to us about all the property was in question or in play when it came to this, what do we call not, or this exclusivity phase. That was something new, kind of discovered more today. When we start talking about it, it just seems like there's so many. To me, it's like a lot of balls we're juggling in the air. I'd rather have more balls sitting on the table. And I don't see what the issue. I would really like to have work on two MOUs at the same time so that we can get both projects through nicely through the city. So, because they're both great projects. We love you both. But I want to give equal time. And I just feel that there's a lot of stuff that's just, to me, I don't feel comfortable that all the stuff I knew, I've known long, because I didn't. We learned a lot of stuff today.
Councilman Richards?
To me, this forces the performance of both parties in this transaction, that we have an MOU in hand, we're ready to move forward with it. Another party steps up. You know, we've negotiated in pretty good faith with the party. I feel that we owe them at least to move forward with this MOU. There's still lots of time. You know, there's lots of things that could happen in the process of this negotiation. But I like it because it really nails down the one that we feel confident about, and then the second proposal. We can continue to dialogue with those guys. Both parties need to perform either way. And it doesn't lock us into, you know, not talking to the other party. So, I don't feel, you know, I've been attending all of these meetings pretty regularly where we've had several briefings in both executive session and a public session. You know, I know there's been, I know your work schedule has been challenging, Councilmember Higgins, but I feel like it's been fully vetted, very, very, all the details have been fleshed out. And so I don't find this that complicated. Thank you.
I think that we've talked about this. I don't believe that acting on this motion tonight really changes the game. I think that we have items we still need to negotiate, and as we bring out the details, I think it spells out very carefully that it does envision talking with the second party. It doesn't change those rights. I don't know what will change by delaying. I'd like to just, since there's a motion on the table, just move ahead with that motion if we could. Vice Mayor?
Thank you. Well, there was some major changes that came aware tonight, so it does kind of change the game, and it doesn't matter if people have been here in the past or now. Definitely some changes tonight. But actually, this is really exciting news for Mesa and the opportunity that we have multiple private sector folks coming forward and saying, hey, they want to build something nice and hotels and resorts. And these are the problems I wish we had for the last 4 years, and it's exciting to see it coming forth now. So I'm going to go ahead and support the motion as I understand it to be supported, but I wanted to be crystal clear with our friends at Sunridge. I've got a couple of problems with the exclusivity part of it, and I've made, in my little opportunity, made the city attorney and the city manager aware. Anything that prevents the opportunity for competition and getting the best price for the citizens of Mesa, more development, I would be apprehensive about. But I think it can work out, and I'm assured by our good city manager that he's going to look for every opportunity to see how it's a win-win for everyone. In fact, I do remember as we were having a light moment to say, hey, we want it all. We want all these opportunities and this development, and there's some great things that are happening here. So as we go forward, though, I wanted you to know in good faith, got a concern here or there, but they're no deal killers that I can see. But I think it's a great opportunity to move forward. So I'll be supporting that motion.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Mayor.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor. I made a second on this motion. I'll say that there's
we've had quite a bit of conversation about this, and the conversation downstairs was very revealing. I haven't heard anything moving forward with an MOU that would preclude us from making some changes to make council members more comfortable before we get to the development agreement. The other thing that I've heard is there's nothing in this MOU that precludes us from dealing with that the second hotel. I would like to extend my appreciation to Councilwoman Higgins. She did a phenomenal job in reaching out to a developer who was interested in, taking a big risk and is interested in doing a full service hotel, which this council believes is a very viable project next to another phenomenal project. And no one, neither the developers or nobody up here, seems to believe that a full service hotel and limited service hotel are in direct competition. In fact, when you look at some of the agreements we've done, like in the Gateway area with Gaylord, even though Gaylord was going in, there was another lower level hotel, although resort also, that was interested in coming in and sitting right next to it. I think both these projects can work. From what we've been told by our city attorney, we can move forward on both these projects and work out good development agreements, and I think we'll have some very positive projects. So I'm looking forward to seeing both of these move forward. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. I think as this goes through, well, let's just go ahead. If there's no other comments, let's vote. The vote is 5 ayes and 1 nay, with Councilmember Higgins voting nay and Councilmember Glover absent. And I think that with the comments, there's also some, although not formally part of this, I think there's some feelings and some suggestions that I think it would behoove the parties to take notice of and work on toward getting something that works and that I think can be successful. Okay? Great. The motion carries, by the way. The next item is item 11, items from citizens present. The first request is from Ryan Russell. Ryan?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. It's appreciate the opportunity to come here and speak to you this evening. You know, it seems often I come to you and I have to ask for things, whether it's funding or changes in how we do things or just advice. And although I don't mind coming and talking to you on those issues, it's kind of nice that I get to come and talk to you about a success we had working with the city tonight and our military leave policy. Currently, law enforcement is one of the largest employers of veterans in the state of Arizona, and many of those veterans choose to continue to serve their country in the reserves also, as well as serving their community as police officers. So I was approached by some of our reservists here in the department. And you can imagine that some of the role of reservists in National Guard has changed a lot in the post 9/11 era. No more just the weekend and the 1 weekend a month and 1 week in the summertime. Now they're asked to go serve some fairly significant roles in serving our country. So we came together and we didn't know really where to start and where to go from. And Deputy City John Pombier, City Manager John Pombier, and Talana Felix met with us. And we said, hey, here's where we're at, and here's where we want to go. And inevitably, every time we would turn and look at Talana, and she was the one who did a lot of work for us. So I want to publicly thank her for that. One of the biggest changes that is going to come out of the policy change is what we describe as decompression time. Many times our reservists are coming back from up to a year or more deployment, and many times they're coming back and they're done with their military commitment on Friday, and unfortunately they're back to work on Monday. And that doesn't create a healthy or happy employee, and it definitely doesn't create a healthy or happy family for them at home. It's been described to me that many times after a year deployment, they have to come back and get to know their wife and children again. So we've established what we call decompression time, where they're going to get some time provided by the city, depending on how long they're deployed, so they can take those kids to Disneyland and get to know their family again after their deployment. I wanted to thank Sergeant Bob Nesbitt and Sergeant Gina Nesbitt, Officer Scott Bresman and Officer Sean Stoddard, who worked with us on this committee, as well as, once again, Talana Felix and Deputy City Manager John Pombier. And in particular, I wanted to thank City Manager Brady, who, when we brought this policy to him, he saw that this is a good thing for our employees, good thing for our community, good thing for our country, to allow these changes. And to the criticism sometimes in our community out there of labor and management working together, I think this is just another example of the wonderful things we can accomplish by working together. Once again, thank you for the time.
And thank you for coming and sharing that good news with us. It's like you said, it's nice to hear people working together and making the city a great place to work, too.
Thank you, Mark.
So we thank you. And we certainly thank all the members of your department that serve. I know in my and I guess in our tenure, I've known at least a couple of them that have done at least two tours in the 5 years that I've been here. And so I know that that's got to create a huge strain on families, the individuals, and the department. Okay. The next item is John McCatton. John? Did John leave? Okay. Had to leave. All righty. So maybe he'll come up next time. Okay, we have a motion to adjourn from Councilman Summers, a second from Councilman Kavanaugh. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.